Chrissy Jackson on BBC Radio Norfolk.
Good morning, it's Chrissy Jackson till midday, BBC Radio Norfolk. Well, they're blind, they're strong, and they love to tunnel under your perfectly manicured lawns. Moles may have been a childhood favourite in Wind in the Willows, but for gardeners, they are a menace. Cue the lady mole catcher. There are only six registered female mole catchers in Britain, one of whom lives and works in Norfolk. That's a pretty decent story in itself, but Louise Chapman's CV doesn't end there. She's gone from teacher to catching one of Britain's most elusive creatures, and if that's not enough, then Louise has also tried catching deadly pests down under for a new TV series. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Chrissy.
What an introduction. Love
Thank
that.
You
I've
very
really been
much.
Looking forward to having a chat to you. Now, where do we start? How did you become a mole catcher?
Okay, good question. I would just like to say that actually there are three ladies catching moles in Norfolk.
There are.
Well, two are part of my team. So that figure is a little bit out of date. But anyway, let's get back to how did I become a mole catcher. I did a garden design course at Eastern College and saw a mole catching course there and thought that might be quite interesting as I had some moles in my garden. And so went and did the course and didn't kind of consider that I would end up doing it for a living. But situations and circumstances in one's life come about, and I saw a little niche, if you know what I mean. I'd started a gardening business and realised that actually I was getting a bit too old for cutting hedges and cutting big branches off trees.
I like that.
And saw lots of moles around.
So how do you go about catching a creature that spends most of its time underground?
Okay, that's a good question also. To catch a mole, really, you've got to think like a mole, so you have to understand a mole. Moles are actually the hardest pests to deal with. So by understanding their behaviours and their characteristics and quite a lot more, then I put the trap in the ground in the place where I think mole will go, and hopefully he will go in my trap.
So it is a trap that you use, not poison?
No, I don't use poison because I also head British mole catchers and we advocate traditional mole trapping. So I have used a gas actually called aluminium phosphide. I've used that a couple of times in the past, about a couple of years ago, and didn't find it particularly effective. And there's quite a lot more to it than that, really, because, if you pull the mole out of the ground, then you know you've got it. Whereas with the gas, if you put the gas in a particular place and mole is in another area and sort of gets a whiff of it, he'll backfill that tunnel and leave the building, as it were, and then come back when it's dispersed.
I'm with you. Now, what sort of methods have you heard of being used over the years to get rid of moles?
Okay, there are loads and loads of methods that I hear about all day, every day. Holly down the run, or broken glass, and that's because moles are haemophiliacs, lacking vitamin K, but of course that's all highly illegal, as is diesel down a run system, fumes, as car fumes, anything like that. It all boils down to the fact that if we are to manage wildlife, we have to do it responsibly and respectfully in a way that causes minimum suffering to the mole. I've had customers, they say to me, well, can't you just catch it and then go and take it somewhere else? But of course, moles need to eat 20 worms a day to survive, and they've got their own little run system which they live in. So it's like me I always explain to the customer, it's like me taking you out of your home where you've got your bed and your food, putting you somewhere completely at random. You're actually going to starve, and that's going to stress you, and you're going to, and that's kind of how it is with the mole, really. So.
How many moles do you think you've caught over the years?
I don't actually kind of keep a tab on all of that, because I think it's a bit sort of arrogant to say, oh, I've caught X amount of moles. And so I sort of, I don't really keep, I don't, I just don't, I mean, you know, no, I don't, but quite a lot.
What about the really tricky cases that you've had? Are there any where you thought, oh, I'm not ever going to catch this mole?
Yeah, absolutely. I did have one job, and but the mole had been in residence for about 3 years. Both properties had just recently, like within the year, been purchased, so I later found out. And I think it was running between probably about four or five gardens. So I did actually have to abandon that one. Well, I passed it on to somebody else, and I think he also couldn't catch it. So that is, you do get the odd elusive one, but I generally you know, well, it's my business is paid by results. So if I don't catch the mole, I don't get paid. So I'm obviously I'm pretty good. If not, I wouldn't still be in business 2 years on.
Absolutely. Right. Well, I want to ask you a lot more about your job and the fact you're going to be on TV soon as well. So we'll talk some more after this.
Here they come again. Mm-hmm. Catch us if you can. Mm-hmm. Time to get a move on. Mm-hmm. We were young with all of our might. Catch us if you can. 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 Now we gotta run. No more time for fun. When we're getting angry, we were young with all of our might. Catch us if you can. Just if you can.
Dave Clark 5 and Catch Us If You Can. Good morning, it's Chrissy Jackson till midday, BBC Radio Norfolk. Back to talking to Louise Chapman, our lady mole catcher. We've talked about the sneaky ones, some of the ones that get away. Is it a job for you or a way of life?
It's absolutely a way of life. I don't, you know, I don't ever get up and think, oh, goodness me, I've got to go to work, you know, because obviously the outside is my office and meet lots of lovely, lovely people who are often traumatised by the dreaded mole. And so obviously they're very pleased to see me and equally very pleased to see me go because I've done the job. So, yeah, it's great. Absolutely great.
But you haven't been... You haven't always been a mole catcher. You were a teacher before that. How does it compare?
Okay.
That's a great thing for your CV.
Yeah. I was a school teacher in Norwich and I worked 3 years at the Hewitt School and 3 years at Cossey High School, as well as doing a bit of supply. And, you know, really, I was sort of teaching mainly drama, English, bit of art, bit of religious studies. Quite liked religious studies, you know, philosophy and ethics. But fundamentally, I always looked out of the window and just yearned to be outside. This job kind of just, or yeah, this how I earn my living now just suits me much better.
Why do you think there's only 6 female mole catchers in the country?
Well, that's also quite interesting. I mean, strychnine was banned in 2006. So traditionally, there were each village in Norfolk would have had its own mole catcher. And of course, they were gentlemen. And the tradition was passed down through the families. But when strychnine came in, of course, the old traditional sort of methods died out because they didn't need to be used. Strychnine was banned in 2006, and of course there is a sort of a shortage of traditional mole catchers in the UK. I have about 180 or something on my register, or something about like that. I suppose it's always been perceived as a sort of male role, and you would perhaps imagine a mole catcher of old with perhaps string around his trousers and a bit wizened. And I just thought, oh, why not? I'm just going to come and change the face of it. You know, you don't have to look like that. You can be blonde and small and wrestle crocodiles as well, right?
Right. Just give me some facts, Louise, about moles. All I think of them doing is just... digging and making mounds in people's lawns.
Yeah, I mean, moles are one of the least understood mammals on the planet. They've got 44 teeth, more than any other mammal, but they are the ultimate digging machine. So I mentioned earlier, they have to eat 20 worms a day to survive. And if they don't do that for two consecutive days, they're going to, die. So although they're sort of fairly robust, very robust, sort of strong creatures, in other ways, they're quite sensitive. So it's been said, I read an article once, and it said, if you've got a little mole in your garden, then just leave it. And then once it's dug its little run system, you can both coexist quite easily. But of course, that's not true, because moles are, as I said, are the ultimate digging machine. So they will continue to extend their run system in search of worms whilst leaving the old area to replenish. They aren't blind. That's another myth. But they don't need to see because they live in the dark. But they have they are sort of light sensitive. They've got these sort of large spatulate paws, all covered in these sort of sensory hairs. And these sensory hairs all feed into their nervous system, along with the hairs on its snout, to detect pressure, change, temperature, sound, all those things that help it to survive in its underground environment.
Tell me about this new TV series. We're going to see you on TV from tomorrow, aren't we?
Yes, I'm really excited because I'm in episode one, which is fantastic. So there's 20 episodes, and it's on Dave, Channel 12, which is a Freeview channel.
The series is called?
Deadliest Pests Down Under. Deadliest of a mouthful.
Deadliest Pests Down Under, right.
Yeah. And so I was invited to go to Australia for 10 weeks as part of a team of nine, where we went and worked with pest controllers in Australia, although I don't actually class myself as a pest controller, but that's another matter. We kind of just worked with them in their job. So it's a job doc to see if we could handle it.
So you meet some of the toughest pest controllers out there, don't you? Is that
yes,
right?
Yes. In fact, I had a Skype chat with dear Luce, called Luce because he's a loose cannon, the wild man of Bateman's Bay. And I went out with him to deal with wild pigs.
Oh, brilliant. We'll see you doing that on TV as well.
You will. But the one for tomorrow to watch is me attempting, not very well, actually, to deal with a crocodile. I had to go and take some crocodile eggs from the nest. But first of all, we had to tie the female crocodile up, which was, pretty scary. A 44-year-old saltwater crocodile with 66 very sharp teeth.
Dear me. You're fearless, Louise, aren't you?
Yeah.
I love that about you. I really, really do. Did you learn anything from being down under that you brought back here to this country?
Yeah, I learnt absolutely loads. One thing I found about the Australians is their attitude. It's just really positive. You know, the language that they use, everything's awesome, too easy, beautiful. It's made me stronger than I was before I went, and made me believe in myself more. It was a tremendous, tremendously positive experience.
Good. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much
for having a chat to us today. So Louise Chapman, Lady Mole Catcher, but you'll be on TV tomorrow night wrestling with crocodiles.
Yes, at 8 o'clock.
And the name of the show is Deadliest Pests Down Under.
That's it.
Right. That's a long title.
It is, but it actually is hilariously funny. So, yes, please tune in.
Good luck.
And you can follow me on Twitter and just see that's at Lady Mole Catcher. And just look out for all the news that we'll be putting
Lovely.
On.
Louise,
thank you.
Take care. Not that I need it, because you're fearless anyway. You'll
thank you.
Live for anything. Thanks.
God bless.
Chrissy Jackson on BBC Radio Norfolk.